Heavenly Father, may these spoken words be faithful to the written word and lead us to the living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In this morning's gospel reading, Jesus says some words that upset many of his followers. The way he handles the situation is surprising, because it seems that he does not make it easier, but harder for them. Our natural instinct is to take down any barriers in people's way and help them get past those barriers. If someone finds something difficult or hard to understand, we want to explain it. If there's something in someone's way, we want to move it. And certainly this is what we would expect of Jesus. But this is not what he does. Instead of making it easier to believe, he seems to make it harder. Instead of opening a door, he seems to put up a barrier. If we bear in mind that Jesus is talking here to Jewish people with strict dietary laws about them eating his flesh and drinking his blood, that is a huge barrier. His words are highly offensive to the Jewish people. But he doesn't leave it there. He goes on. The one who feeds on me will live because of me. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus was a part of this culture. He knew it. He would have certainly known that he was causing such offence, and he would have been causing many to decide they didn't want to follow him after all. Not if this was involved. He was making himself less popular and driving people away from him. It seems crazy. Why would he do that? Perhaps because what he was looking for was not crowds, but disciples. Not for people whose faith is superficial, but for real disciples. Full-on commitment. People who would stick with him. And with the words he was saying, he posed the question, are you up for it? Are you up for the challenge? Do you want to be my disciple? Will you continue to follow me? This is what's involved. Here is the cost. You need to offer me every part of yourself, your whole life, all of it, everything. Hold nothing back. And in return, you will receive me. I will give you new life, eternal life. You will receive it through my death. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. As Christians, this is what we do. We celebrate Jesus' death through the sacrament of Holy Communion. As we share bread and wine together, we do also remember Christ's birth, resurrection, and look forward to his coming again. But this sacrament is very much about Jesus' death, his body broken for us, and his blood shed for us, because it is through Christ's death that we are able to receive forgiveness for our sins and new life, everlasting life. A sacrament, after all, is an outward and visible sign of an inward, invisible presence, the presence of Christ. Through the sacrament of Holy Communion, we come. We come to the rail to receive the gift of eternal life. And we invite Christ to remain in us. But more than that, we come also to give. There is a mutual giving taking place. It's our opportunity to give all of ourselves to Christ. We can offer up our life. To the only one who can we can really trust with it. The only one who loves us so completely. We can give it all up. Our gifts, possessions, resources, our pain, anger, hurt, all of it. And we can say to Jesus, do with it what you will. We represent this offering of ourselves by the gifts that we bring to the communion table. The gifts of money and the bread and wine that is brought up, that is broken and poured out, representing our own lives being poured out together and joining with the body of Christ. We are members one of another. Through Christ, we become one body, one church, not just us, but every Christian who ever lived and is living on this planet right now. We're all members of one church, the Church of Jesus Christ. And what we receive when we give our life to Christ is worth more than we could ever give. We become part of God's kingdom here on earth. Jesus describes it in Matthew chapter 13 like this. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. God is like the merchant's pearl. It costs everything to know him, but he's worth more than anything in the world. Wherever we are on our spiritual journey, this is a hard teaching. It always will be. Jesus is the only way to a relationship with God, and following Jesus isn't easy. He never promised us it would be. Placing our whole lives in his hands is a big step to take. It will cost us everything, but it will be worth it. Once we receive the gift of new life, which Jesus gives us by his Holy Spirit, as well as the assurance that we're loved unconditionally forever as one of God's precious children, then we will know that we've made the right choice. And sometimes we do have to hear words that are hard to accept. That someone we love is leaving us, or that a loved one is ill or even dead. When we hear those words, we have a choice to make. Do we do what many did at this point and turn away? Do we disengage, give up, pretend it isn't true? Or do we react like Peter did? Do we accept the truth? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Peter was a disciple. He had arrived at a place where he knew he had to rely completely on Jesus and Jesus alone. He'd placed his life in the hands of Jesus, and he knew that that was where he had to stay, because only Jesus offers us eternal life. Instead of coming up against this barrier and turning away, Peter chose to take his ladder of faith, lean it right up against the barrier, and scale it. When we face difficulties or barriers, we can choose to do the same. These can be times of great spiritual growth for us, times when perhaps we feel God's absence, yet we continually faithfully climb over them, because we know that continuing to walk with Jesus will always be worth it. After all, we're called to a life of faithfulness. When I and my family were at the big Christian gathering, Spring Harvest, this year, I don't know if any of you have been, this was the topic of a talk by Jeff Lucas. He calls it Staying in the Boat, and he's written a book here with that title, and it's about his 44-year-long walk with Christ, sharing a lot of the wisdom that he's learned about the Christian life as he stayed in the boat with Jesus. Now, this might seem a bit of a strange thing to mention, seeing as though it was actually Peter who was called to step out of the boat and to walk on the water with Jesus. And there is another great book by one of Guy's favourite authors, John Ortberg, about that, about following Christ's call. But whether we're called to remain in one place or to go, our primary call is one of faithfulness. Whatever we do it with Jesus. It's about staying in the boat, staying with Jesus. A great example of someone who did this in the face of great difficulties is the story of Job in the Old Testament. He suffered in almost every way you can imagine. He was robbed of all his possessions. His children were killed. His skin was covered in sores. And yet, he still said about God, "Though he slay me, yet I will hope in him." And I know from hearing people's stories here at St. Mary's that there are individuals here who have suffered great losses. The loss of a husband, perhaps, or a young child. Yet in the face of such terrible loss, they have come to realise just what Peter did, that there really is nowhere else to go, no one else to turn to, only Jesus. So here's an invitation to us all. When we come forward today to receive communion or a blessing, let's give just that little bit more of ourselves than we have done before. Let's hand over an area of our lives that maybe we've been holding back and keeping for ourselves up until now. Let's give it to God. Perhaps it's a long-standing grudge, maybe feelings of inadequacy, our health, our relationships, money, possessions, career. Whether it's pretty or ugly, it doesn't matter. God is big enough to handle it all. Whatever it is, there is only one place we can take any of it, to Jesus. And the more we hand over, the more life-giving love we can receive. Peter sums it up so well. "To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Amen.